This is Andy Oram at O'Reilly Media. I have been having conversations over the past couple weeks with people who are presenting presentations at the Open Source Convention on Healthcare. And today I'm talking to Joseph Dalmolin, who is one of the founders of World Vista. World Vista being an open source public and community project based around the famous software that the Veterans Administration created, Vista. Many people say that Vista seems to work okay for the Veterans Administration, but it wouldn't really be useful outside, and Joseph is proving them wrong. For instance, he's going back to Jordan in about 3 days to implement it across the country there. Is that right?
Yes, I'm actually acting as an advisor to a nonprofit that Jordan has created, whose task it is to deploy Vista across the entire public health system in Jordan, which is 46 hospitals and about 1,000 clinics.
What kind of effort does it take to make Vista work in an environment like that?
In addition to, there are a number of things that you need to do to adapt Vista for use outside of VA settings, and the community has been working on those issues. For example, adding capability for pediatrics, because obviously there aren't any children that are VA veterans, thank goodness. Also, there needed to be strengthened in the area of women's health, like OBGYN and so forth. Those areas have all been worked on by the community and have been included in World Vista EHR and some of the other Vista variants. So there's that general effort, and then there are a number of things that are more related to practice within the VA that need to be switched off or modified in some way. For example, during registration, the system will ask you if you've been exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam and so forth. So obviously that's a very VA-centric kind of scenario. So some of those things have to be done as well. And as I said, the community's been working on those and adding those changes back into the core system over time.
So there's some. You might want to keep the question about Agent Orange if you're going to deploy World Vista in Vietnam.
Definitely. So, and that's why what we've done, rather than removing functionality, is we've been switching it off or doing it in a way that can easily be reversed. And there's a number of reasons for doing that. One of them is maintaining forward compatibility with VA's improvements themselves. What we've done is, the other thing that you need to do in working with Vista is recognize the fact that VA is still and will be for the foreseeable future the biggest investor in improving Vista. And so we need to improve Vista in a way outside the community that ensures maximum compatibility with the VA code. So World Vista has adopted the same standards of development that the VA has, and the same methods and so on. So what we do is, again, getting back to your question, is encouraging other adopters, for example, in Jordan, as they modify the system to support local nuances, such as in Jordan, for example, they want to be able to support Arabic for demographic information and for patient information sheets and so forth. So those changes, again, are being made in a way that the software remains as compatible as possible with updates that stream out of VA.
That's the great thing about open source, isn't it? That the vast diversity of humanity can be represented in software.
Absolutely, and what's really exciting about this is that we're opening up the innovation process, and I think VA very recently has recognized the power of open source with the IAC report that they just received, the report from the Industry Advisory Council, I think that's the breakdown of the acronym, where they recommended embracing open source methods and processes. So VA is very aware of the possibilities of doing this, which is a real, I think, a milestone in VA, in Vista's future.
I do want to talk more at some point about the community that you mentioned, some of the companies in there, and the relationship with the VA. But there was a story that you were telling me earlier, so compelling that I felt I wanted to jump right to it so that people would hear it right near the beginning of the talk. And it was about how VISTA has helped the VA to improve its quality, to become go from one of the least high-quality health providers to one of the highest-quality health providers in the country.
Well, yes, that's, I mean, one of the things that I've found personally most interesting about the VA, you know, first, the first thing that attracts you to VISTA, usually, you know, the fact it's the code, it's a powerful EHR and so on and so forth. But what became really fascinating was understanding how this code got to be what it is and what it was able to do in the VA. The VA used to, was notoriously, one of the worst places to get healthcare back in the early 70s, post-Vietnam War era. In fact, there was a movie made about that. I think it was called Born on the 4th of July, which documented how bad care was in the VA. Well, in the mid to late 90s, the VA began a significant turnaround under Ken Kaiser, and they started bringing in some new thinking in terms of quality improvement. I know they brought, I believe they brought some people in from NASA and so forth. And they started introducing this culture of continuous improvement, or what we call evidence-based medicine, where you basically go through this feedback loop of introducing new ideas, learning from your mistakes, not punishing people for making mistakes, and adding those improvements into the procedures and methods and so on they use to deliver care. Funnily enough, that sounds a heck of a lot like open source, doesn't it? Well, the interesting thing is that VISTA, which started really out as a skunkworks project, by the same time had emerged as from skunkworks and become a mainstream part of the VA. Corporate development initiatives. And that same culture of evidence-based medicine or continuous improvement was married to the actual process of developing the software. And so over time, these various processes of improving the system, improving the way care was delivered, started feeding into each other, and the system itself, the VISTA system, became a very powerful tool in measuring the impact of changes in protocols, in healthcare protocols, for example, in treating diabetes or hypertension, which are important chronic diseases that need to be managed early to save costs and improve the quality of life of patients and so forth. this interaction effect occurred over time to the point where in the last 8 or 9 years VA has been held up as an example of what is possible when you really leverage the power of technology and you adopt these evidence-based medicine processes and cultures of continuous improvement. So today VA is literally one of the top, if not the top, performing health system in the U.S., both in terms of managing costs, but also in terms of quality of outcomes. And the neat thing is that a lot of this stuff, it's not, because it's a government agency and so forth, this isn't marketing information. These are all things that you can find quite a few articles about in peer-reviewed scientific journals and other places. So, you know, not only is the code and so forth available, but also there's lots of information that shows where and how VA was able to make these kinds of radical improvements in its care delivery.
Well, it sounds like some of the quality improvements that were discovered by the doctors were sort of compiled into further versions of VISTA. But did VISTA also feed data back that was useful for quality improvement?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what's happened. One example, and I don't think this is urban mythology. I've heard it enough times now that I think it's actually true. But the barcode medication management capability, VA adopted barcode management of delivery and ordering of medications many years ago. In fact, it pioneered it. The basic idea is that when you register a patient, an inpatient, you get a, as part of your wristband, there's a barcode there which identifies you uniquely in the system. And when medications are prescribed for you, they record, they use a barcode to record your name and so forth, and it goes along with the prescription. And then when the prescription's filled, a barcode is added to the medication bottle or pill, whatever the packaging is, and so forth. And before it's actually given to you, the nurse will scan your barcode again to make absolutely sure they're giving you, the right person's getting the right dose, that, you know, and so forth. There's a number of criteria that are satisfied there. Well, that whole process was apparently thought of by a nurse who was coming back on a flight from somewhere and was checking in her rental car. And the company that was doing that was using barcodes to get that done. And she went back to her VA facility and talked to the programmers and said, you know, could we do this? And they said, yeah, you know, and one thing led to another. And that's how this particular capability came into being. So there's this strong interaction between the development teams and the clinicians that are actually working with the system. In terms of shaping the capabilities within the software and what it can do. Now, this particular example is very significant because there are still quite a few deaths in health systems because of medication error. I think the statistics are something like 17,000 a year in the U.S. alone die from medication error. Well, this solution in combination with some of the other capabilities in Vista almost eliminate medication error in VA systems. So you can imagine what, you know, that feedback loop of improvement, the benefits of that are significant. The other side of it is in terms of providing information, not only when you're using Vista in with patients and so forth, it's patient-centric. So you're focused on the individual that you're working with, and all the information that relates to that individual is available to you via the system. In fact, the VA retains records over 75 years, so you basically have a lifelong medical record for that person. But you can also look across the patient population or across the entire population of people that are within the Vista system to look for patterns and to do all kinds of decision support and analysis. And that can be done a number of ways. You can do it within Vista using a number of ad hoc reports or canned reports, or you can pipe the data out to a data warehouse and do more extensive statistical analysis and so forth. And that's done all the time in the VA. I think they've got about nine centers in the VA system, which are focused on analyzing data across the VA. So there's quite a bit of research that goes on within VA on how to improve care. And that's another interesting thing about the VA ecosystem, is that there's this strong interconnection between research and teaching and delivery of care and so forth, which gives it a very a leg up, I think, in terms of the rest of the health system.
It certainly has an advantage of being an enormous and somewhat self-contained system.
It does, and you know, unfortunately, the only, you know, one of the reasons we haven't got that out in the wild, if you will, outside self-contained systems like VA is the fact that we haven't that we haven't got the level of integration across electronic health solutions that we should have by now to be able to do this. We're starting to get there, but it's not as seamless, it's not as dynamic, and so on. So there's all kinds of roadblocks that have prevented us in in systems that aren't as integrated and as holistic as the VAs.
And before we move away from this quality issue to talk more about VA out in the wild, Avista out in the wild, I do have to point out that almost all the things you've been talking about, the quality checks, automated checks, the feedback loop, and the collecting of data, these are things that the administration wants in companies throughout and health providers throughout the country. And that's what the meaningful use provisions of the Recovery Act are for. And this is stuff that Avista is showing the way forward for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I keep pinching myself every once in a while and just reminding myself how serendipitous it is that that the world has an example like the VA, and that the knowledge and the software and the documentation, all the stuff that has helped the VA get to where it is available for others to mimic, to use, to do whatever they want with. I mean, it's just amazing that we're in this scenario, and that's why I think it's really important to leverage it as much as possible, the lessons learned in the VA system.
Now, we started off mentioning that the country Jordan is trying to implement Avista countrywide. Can you tell me about a few other interesting deployments, just to bring home to listeners that Avista is being used outside the Veterans Administration?
There's a cluster of hospitals in West Virginia, and the state hospitals that have adopted a version of Avista. There's work now there has been work ongoing in Hawaii, for example, of several facilities. There's another version of Avista called RPMS, which is developed by the U.S. Indian Health Service. And that's those are all non-VA. All the various tribes and so forth in the U.S. are at liberty to use that system. And that's been deployed extensively through their facilities. But that system's also been used now in a number of clinics in West Virginia and in Hawaii. Avista variants, we did a survey last year. There's about between, at least for World Vista EHR, there's close to 50 that we know of. There's been over 30,000 downloads, almost 31,000 downloads of the software since we put it up in 2007, the first release. So there are quite a few out there. There's let me think of some other Oklahoma long-term care facilities. The state long-term care facilities deployed Avista quite some time ago. There's a hospital in Texas called Midland, Texas, or Midland Hospital, which deployed a MedSphere's version called OpenVista, and they achieved his level 6 of the HIMSS. HIMSS is an association of it's a sort of a
consortium, I'd say.
Exactly. I mean, that focuses on health information technology. And they have a sliding scale of up to 7. Level 7 is like the highest, and Midland achieved level 6 in their evaluation, which is pretty significant. And they can probably easily achieve 7 if they wanted to with Avista. There are a number of smaller the deployments have tended to be in small to medium sized hospitals and clinics within the health system.
Now, you mentioned MedSphere, which I want to come back to because they seem to be a fairly important company in this Avista area. And one of the interesting things about Avista is that it's based on a rather hoary old language, mumps, which is now standardized as M. And I understand one of the important things that made it possible to do World Vista was that someone created an open source version of the M language, and he was one of the founders. Is that right?
Yes. M itself is, it's always, there's been a standard for M for quite some time. What was missing when World Vista was created to address a couple of gaps that existed. One of them was the fact that the VA can't help anyone outside of its specific mandate to serve veterans. But the other, a big glaring gap was that there wasn't a full open source stack available to run Vista. It ran on a proprietary database within the VA, and in the VA on the VMS operating system or on Windows operating system. So one of the first things we did, and this kind of happened again serendipitously when World Vista was created, was Fidelity Information Systems, which had a different name at the time, but anyways, they made a version of M, of the M database called GTM, which was and decided to open source. So they primarily served the financial services industry, but anyways, that opened the door for us to be able to port the system to a Linux and a full open source stack, which was perfected over. I guess over, you know, the first time we did it, I think it took 2 or 3 weeks of effort, and then we've got it down to the point now where you can take a VA version and have it running on a full open source stack in a couple of hours.
Including that hierarchical database?
Yeah, the entire shooting match. And the nice thing, the reason that we're able to do that is that the VA stuck to the standard version of M, even though there were extensions within the proprietary version that they're using that they could have taken advantage of. And thankfully, they didn't take, you know, there's the odd little quirk here and there, but essentially the system is very portable.
They were really thinking open even before they went open source.
Exactly. They've always been very smart about avoiding vendor lock-in in the past. Hopefully they'll continue to do so in the future. But they've done a very good job of that, and as a consequence, we've got quite a bit of portability in the system.
But for people who don't want to work with M, want to work with Vista, this is where I tie together a couple of the threads that I just threw out a few minutes ago. It seems that Medsphere has created a Java interface called Ovid. Have you been following that?
Yes, although I'm not technical enough to get into it too deeply, but there's been a number of developments like that. There's also another platform called EWD, which enable folks that don't have an M background. And I like to loop back to the M thing anyways for a moment, but and I'm not an M programmer, so I think I'm fairly objective about talking about M. I'm not an evangelist by any stretch of the imagination. But anyways, there's a number of platforms like this. This is very exciting, which have enabled more easily to integrate using the use of other languages like Python or Java and so forth. So there really are quite a few tools now that can be used to apply, commonly known languages to Vista development. And in fact, one of the really exciting things is that this will enable more rapid development and more rich development of sort of the user interfaces and the things that the users use while maintaining the very powerful transaction processing engine that's at the heart of Vista. The M platform, the M database platform, is actually ideal for healthcare. It was designed to support the nuances of health data and so forth. And it's very fast. It's very frugal on hardware and so forth. And it's bulletproof. So what we've been trying to do over the last couple of years is open up the community to involvement by folks who are who may not know anything about M and even may not know anything about health systems, and get them involved using, you know, whatever programming language they're more familiar with.
And this year at the Open Source Convention, we had to keep the track at a fairly high level, but as this sort of work spreads, I'm kind of hoping in a future Open Source Convention we'll see a tutorial on M, or maybe another tutorial on EWD or one of the other tools that people can use.
Yeah, definitely. I know for sure there'll be great interest, at least from our community, to do that. And I've one of the things that's been a real joy for me is watching. And like I said, I'm not an M programmer, so I just know, having lived with this now for the last 10 or so years and before that, that it is a superb platform for the core of the system. The Jordanians, who are, you know, didn't know what the heck M was at all when we first started, have really taken to it. They've learned it. These are all programmers who came with the usual kind of credentials that you would find in today. They're all, you know, between 20 and 30 years of age. So they're probably a pretty good representative sample of what we'd encounter in North America, and they're absolutely amazed with what you can do with the power of the software. And they're also now working to bring their other, you know, the tools that they're more familiar with into play with the software as they start working on it. So I think we're entering into very exciting times, because there's a definite need to continue to improve the software and to open it up to other languages, especially things like Python and so forth, which could open up the number of people that can contribute to its improvement.
I'd like to wrap up by talking about community, which is so fundamental with all open source projects, and how Vista is working with you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about that?
About the community in general?
Yeah.
It's been an interesting ride. I mean, as I mentioned, there were a number of gaps that existed when World Vista was founded. One was the software platform and so on. The other one was the fact that there was really just a small, very small very technical community focused on Vista and its infrastructure. And so one of our goals was to start creating a vibrant community that would begin acting like an open source community and so forth, and fostering growth and so on. So we deliberately decided to work with the existing community and not fork it and create something else. So we actually used the Hard Hats mailing list, which is where everybody was kind of living when we first started. In fact, a couple of the World Vista founders were founders of Hard Hats too. And that discussion forum has over 1,000 members on it. As usual, you have a smaller number, which are the very active ones, but there are quite a few folks on that. We organized, World Vista itself has organized over 22 community meetings. We tend to have a couple a year, and usually get anywhere between 60 and up to 100 or more people at those. So the community itself has been increasingly active. A number of companies have been spawned. I mentioned MedSphere. There's a couple of others, the smaller companies, and lots of individual experts and consultants and so forth. We have quite a few clinician geeks, if you will, doctors or nurses and so on, who also are good at programming. And so it's quite a diverse community. One of the things that I would like to see more of is more code exchange and contribution and so on, and we're getting there. It's not as easy and as dynamic as we hoped it would have been by now, but it's certainly moving in that direction, especially as adopters, the actual end users who are adopting Vista, are getting involved with the community as well. And not just the folks that are selling their services and so on.
And Vista releases code under the Freedom of Information Act. Now that's their version of having the open source
program. Right. The VA itself, that's exactly how the software was first released many years ago and continues to be released. Although that's just the mechanics of that have gotten bogged down in the last year or so for as the VA was transitioning between the different administrations in Washington, and hopefully that will be fixed. But the mechanism that VA distributes is through FOIA. World Vista releases its version as GPL on SourceForge. Metsphere does the same thing using a GPL. And so forth. So there's a variety of ways of that happening.
So you'll be talking more about this at the Open Source Convention.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Just a couple of weeks more.
Yeah.
And have a really good trip to Jordan. Thanks a lot for taking time out between all these trips to talk to me.
Okay, thank you so much, Andy. It's great to have O'Reilly shine a light on healthcare IT. It's such a key area, and I think an area for open source folks to really align their passion with something that's easy to get even more passionate about.
It's a big world out there, this healthcare open source, and we hope to bring some of it to the convention for people.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you.